In the Penal Colony by Franz Kafka. "It's a peculiar apparatus," said the officer to the traveller, gazing with a certain admiration at the device, with which he was, of course, thoroughly familiar. It appeared that the traveller had responded to the invitation of the commandant only out of politeness, when he'd been invited to attend the execution of a soldier condemned for disobeying and insulting his superior. Of course, interest in the execution was not very high, not even in the penal colony itself. At least here, in this small, deep, sandy valley, closed in on all sides by barren slopes, apart from the officer and the traveller, there were present only the condemned, a vacant-looking man with a broad mouth and dilapidated hair and face, and the soldier, who held the heavy chain to which were connected the small chains which bound the condemned man by his feet and wrist bones, as well as by his neck, and which were also linked to each other by connecting chains. The condemned man had an expression of such dog-like resignation that it looked as if one could set him free to roam around the slopes and would only have to whistle at the start of the execution for him to return. The traveller had little interest in the apparatus and walked back and forth behind the condemned man, almost visibly indifferent, while the officer took care of the final preparations. Sometimes he crawled under the apparatus, which was built deep into the earth, and sometimes he climbed up a ladder to inspect the upper parts. These were really jobs which could have been left to a mechanic, but the officer carried them out with great enthusiasm, maybe because he was particularly fond of this apparatus, or maybe because there was some other reason why one could not trust the work to anyone else. "It's all ready now," he finally cried, and climbed back down the ladder. He was unusually tired, breathing with his mouth wide open, and he'd pushed two fine ladies' handkerchiefs under the collar of his uniform. "These uniforms are really too heavy for the tropics," the traveller said, instead of asking some questions about the apparatus, as the officer had expected. "That's true," said the officer. He washed the oil and grease from his dirty hands in a bucket of water standing ready. "But they mean home, and we don't want to lose our homeland. Now, have a look at this apparatus," he added immediately, drying his hands with a towel and pointing to the device. "Up to this point, I had to do some work by hand, but from now on, the apparatus should work entirely on its own." The traveller nodded and followed the officer. The latter tried to protect himself against all eventualities by saying, "Of course, breakdowns do happen. I really hope none will occur today, but we must be prepared for it. The apparatus is supposed to keep going for 12 hours without interruption, but if any breakdowns do occur, they'll only be very minor, and we'll deal with them right away." "Don't you want to sit down?" he asked finally, as he pulled out a chair from a pile of cane chairs and offered it to the traveller. The latter could not refuse. He sat on the edge of the pit, into which he cast a fleeting glance. It was not very deep. On one side of the hole, the piled earth was heaped up into a wall. On the other side stood the apparatus. "I don't know," the officer said, "whether the commandant has already explained the apparatus to you." The traveller made a vague gesture with his hand. That was good enough for the officer, for now he could explain the apparatus himself.